You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, this is A View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today's Tuesday, 12th of March, 2024. My name is Patrick Smith. We're live on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and you can also download us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all of your normal podcast providers. If you're watching live, let's get right back into this, Patrick. If you're watching live on YouTube and you enjoy the show, why not hit like and subscribe and all that good stuff for Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Leave us a review, you know that. We love hearing what you guys have to say. On this week's show, a split weekend against the Sheffield Steelers, but a loss that I believe knocks us out of the league title chase. We'll be chatting about those games. Assistant coach George Iwata will be with us tonight, as will Matt McLeod, fresh off two goals at the weekend. He'll be coming along. The Challenge Cup final is on Wednesday night, and there's a lot of other news to consider. Player of the Month award for February has been decided. Let's look at who won that. And the Flames will arrive in town on Friday night, potentially as new cup champions. But we'll see how that goes. If you're watching live and like to get involved, if you're on YouTube and Facebook, we have a live chat box. Just send your questions in, send your messages in. We'll keep an eye on that. Likewise, I've got Twitter or X running beside me here, and we'll keep an eye. Big thanks to Mr. McGimsey, Mr. Martin, and Mr. Kitchen for stepping up last week when I was off enjoying myself. How are you doing, Davey?
I'm floating between the euphoria of a win and like the PTSD of watching Sunday's game. Somebody asked me for some stats earlier on, and I had to go back and watch the game to do them. And it was like I've watched those games a couple of times, both of them, and it doesn't get any easier either. Neither night really, but let's get tucked into them and get them out of the way.
Yeah, how are you, Marty?
I'm all good. You've inspired me to start looking at ski holidays.
Mate.
What the pictures you'd show me looked epic. So
don't have to do that. Look. Yeah. I even have them ready for this. Look,
can't hide money. Yeah.
Mate, it's the best week of the year. It's by far the best week of the year.
No. Best fortnight of the year happens in the seventh month, Patrick. You know that.
This place had night skiing. It had, you know, a fantastic. We see this. I'm going to indulge myself here for a bit of night skiing there for those watching on YouTube or Facebook. And then got involved. The wee man got involved, and he's like 4 years old, is our Declan. And he's absolutely awesome. Loving life. And I have one here of Roisin, and she was digging in as well. So yeah, great weekend. But I was listening to you guys on the podcast as I was skiing down through Paso Tenali.
Hey!
A great show. Yes, loved it. Best week of the year. Just indulging myself there with a bit of that. But thanks to you boys for stepping up. Right, hockey time. The Belfast Giants had two games over.
No. Start with Easter egg bitmate, if you would, for me.
All right, okay. Did you send me that picture?
Are you able to? While Patrick's hooking a picture up here, 14-year-old Belfast Giants fan Jasmine Parker has, over the last lot of years, delivered thousands and thousands of Easter eggs to children across all of Northern Ireland's hospitals, and she's doing it again this year, and she wants the Belfast Giants fans' help. She's aiming for 3,000. Why stop at 3,000? Let's try and get her even more. There's going to be a drop-off point at the games this weekend. Door one to drop your Easter eggs off. I'm going to spend some of Marty and Patrick's money here. They don't know yet, but if you see in the comments, I have put the PayPal address for AVFTB. If you buy an Easter egg during this, if you send some money in AVFTB's name to buy an Easter egg, me, Marty, Patrick, and Sis, will match whatever we get in the next sort of up there. Maybe we'll maybe have to put a cap on that in case like Jeff Baum sends $5,000 or something. But we'll put a good lot of Easter eggs from AVFTB in. So help us help Jasmine and get her across her 3,000 and be online. What these for a 14-year-old to be selfless enough to be doing that year on year is absolutely fantastic. So let's support her in any way we can. So PayPal at podcast@kingdomgiants.com. I keep an eye on it. We'll give you a shout out. Anybody that sends PayPal money over the next hour, we'll give you a shout out in the podcast as well. And then we will match it. If you buy an Easter egg, we'll buy an Easter egg. Let's go. Absolutely.
Let's go. Let's get started. Right. Two games in South Yorkshire against the Sheffield Steelers, the runaway league leaders, the potential league champions. But the first one started off well for the Belfast Giants. It was, let me just bring up the stats, it was a 5-2 win for your Belfast Giants. The goals for the Giants coming from Aaron Nazarian. Our guest tonight, Matt McLeod, Kieran Long, Daniel Tedesco on the power play, and Matt McLeod also with the fifth goal in the empty net. Valorand and Sossaman with the two goals for the Sheffield Steelers. Jackson Whistler and Nets, 31 shots on, two goals against. Matt Greenfield, the other side, 21 shots, four goals against. David Goode and Joe Sewell were your two referees. I'll start with you, Marty. Strong battle for the Giants. Came out strong and shocked the home team.
They did. Giants knew Sheffield had lost their last home game against the Manchester Storm. And they sensed that the Steelers were slightly nervous and certainly getting off to a good start, the good shot from the point there. I believe that was Roach got it. Good shot in net and then just getting in a nice rebound. From there on in, you know, we didn't really look back. I think we go 3-0 up before they responded. Certainly, it looked like we were playing like we were in playoff hockey mode. We had a lot of grit. It was good team performance, but also there was a lot of individual skill, which I liked from the team, especially to do that against the high-flying Steelers.
Davey, you know, there was so much positivity to take from this game. Dear friend, I thought we had a great game, a couple of assists in there, playing really well. And there's like up against the Sheffield Steelers, I'm stumbling on my words here, but up against the Sheffield Steelers and the way that they've been playing, that's no mean feat.
No, and I've paused here for a reason, Paddy, because they come back the first goal. I think this is possibly this is the second goal that's just coming up here. And it's all about getting puck possession. We've talked over, I don't know, Paddy, how long we've been doing this, the last 15 years, about how good Belfast Giants are as a puck possession team. And we're kind of built with that DNA. Possession's 9/10 of the law. If you've got the puck, you're hard to score against, and you've got much more chance of scoring. We turned the Sheffield Steelers, especially on Saturday night, we turned them, we made them face their own net, we made them face Greenfield. We weren't to work along the boards. And even when we lost these kind of board battles, and they were able to just get it out, we were able to then turn them straight away. I think Jacob Frayne comes up. It's actually Kieran Long on the back check here, reaches in, slaps it free. OC goes down the left wing. A lovely little saucer pass across there. Matt McLeod crashing in the back door to make it 2-0. And then all of a sudden, that sucks a bit of the oxygen out of, you know, out of this, the crowd. Belfast Giants, so we're in a game here. You know, I think that to a certain extent, Sheffield probably felt that we were maybe coming to make a numbers here up here. no pressure on us as such. I know we're coming in as defending champions, but all but out of the league race at this stage and playing for a bit of pride and coming out there in their fast 3-0 lead and then coming up with the third one again. And as we'll roll on the third one here, I'll sort of take a little bit of a sort of fill for time as we're talking about it and go back to my possession thing, because it all comes from a face-off in our own zone. Kieran Long wins the face-off himself. We get possession behind our own net. We make a good play up the board. Real patience again here from Oliver Cooper. He sees Longer just breaking for the border here. Feeds him in. Long gets it on his forehand, takes it right into the hash marks, and then finds the five hole. And that's not a goal that Greenfield's probably expecting to give up there. And all of a sudden, the Belfast Giants are 3-0 up and in a bit of dreamland, I suppose, and for the Belfast Giants fans assembled there. You know, he Greenfield plays a shot. There's nobody to play it to. So Greenfield's nice and square on. He just doesn't have that stick down there. And that goes down as a bit of a goalie mistake, of course. And we'll probably talk more about goalie mistakes as we go forward in the evening. 3-0. Yes, they claw one back. And then we get a power play opportunity. And again, and it's the next one. It's actually going to roll in again. We'll talk about it as well. You put the puck on net. And we'll talk about how many times in hockey, you've heard it a million times. Yeah. Put the puck on net and good things happen. But it all starts with the face-off win again. And this is what we didn't do on Sunday night. We didn't win enough face-offs. We didn't take enough opportunities. We didn't put the puck on net. It's a little flick off a player's skate there. Greenfield's obviously playing everything Tedesco's doing there is putting it into the crease, you know, for somebody's stick. He's obviously playing the cross pass, and it just nicks off the skate and goes in 4-1 at that stage. Yes, they get one back and we'll come up with an empty netter towards the end of the game. But, you know, you text me on, you obviously weren't watching your away skiing or whatever, and you text me and went, is this as comprehensive as the scoreline suggests?
Yes.
No. In no uncertain terms, was it? The Sheffield Steelers probably outchanced this. Jackson Whistle did very well in nets. We blocked a lot of shots. You know, the XG was against us. The Corsi was against us. Everything was against us. But it's one of those with just guts it out. And sometimes the hockey gods smile on you. Sometimes you get a wee bit of hockey karma. And there's been plenty of times this season where we have outchanced teams by a million miles. We've outcorsied teams by a million miles. And we've came up on the wrong end. This was one of these nights where it flipped on Sheffield. And probably every statistic on the board said we should have lost that game, but somehow a wee bit of that Giants DNA that I talked about earlier saw us through to a victory.
That was going to be my next question. I thought I'd do, Marty. Was this a good night for the Belfast Giants or a bad night for the Sheffield Steelers?
I think a mixture of both. I really do. It was good for the Giants to go in there with a belief and, you know, to show them that we're kind of ready for playoff hockey. But also, we know what the Sheffield Steelers have been like. They've been relentless this season. And obviously, we will go on to touch on Sunday's game in a moment. Mm-hmm. So I think, we did capitalise on a few of their flaws. And certainly, they were just maybe gripping their sticks too much on the Saturday evening. Also, retro night, they had a couple of, heroes from the 90s back there, and maybe the nerves just play into their hands a little bit. But certainly, I thought it was a good performance by the Giants, and also Davey just said, a couple of games where we've played certainly at home, we should have won games, and just the hockey gods were against us, bounce went against us. But certainly there on Saturday night, it was with us. And even, I just want to go back to that Tedesco goal, you know, two, three months ago, Tedesco throwing that puck into that area, it probably would have hit a skate and went out to our point man. It wouldn't have went into the back of the net of it, or maybe it would have went to their D man. So, you know, he's riding the luck at the minute as well. And that's why he's performing so well at the minute.
Right, gents, take a deep breath. We're going to move on to Sunday in a second, but before that, let's hear from the coaches on Saturday night.
Yeah, I mean, some uncharacteristic decisions. For us, especially in that second period, I actually liked our first period. I thought we came with some energy. It was physical game in the first. We matched the physicality they brought. I thought Wiss made a couple of huge saves there. I thought we slanted the ice for most of the first. Pretty unfortunate to be down 1-0 after a goal off the run of play there for them. And then second period there, switched off for 6 minutes probably to start the period. Couple bad off the puck decisions. Leads to a couple two-on-one situations there. Greener probably wants one of those back for sure. Then in the power play, goes off our skate, short side there again, just a little bit of bad puck luck. I loved our third. I thought we pushed back really, really hard. And the third, same thing. You know, probably created more than we were rewarded with in the third period. But a good team like Belfast, if you spot them three goals, it's making hard work of it coming back in that situation. It'll be some good video session tomorrow. You know, guys have got to look in the mirror a little bit at times, too, over this last 5-6 game stretch. Definitely not as detailed as we've been, and a lot of hockey left to play here. So, you know, I expect a response tomorrow.
Yeah, that one feels good for sure. Happy for the guys. They competed and battled for a full 60. It's not hard to see why Sheffield's in the position they are in. I mean, that's a very good team, very fast. They transition extremely fast, put us under a lot of pressure. And Jackson was there for us. You know, he stood tall. He's a big reason why we're coming out of this with the 2 points. But I thought the guys battled for him as well, and it's nice to see them get rewarded. I think we were in the game. You know, that's something a little different. I mean, the first game here, it was out of reach probably before we could really get our feet wet. You know, we gave up a few goals early, and then same thing in Belfast. I think it was 3-0 down but within the first 5-10 minutes. So it's difficult to play from behind like that. Tonight was different. We were playing in front, and, you know, it's a little easier to defend, and we certainly had to do that, particularly in the first period. I thought that they really had some quality looks in the first period. Jackson stood tall. But the second period, I thought we were much better in the second period, limited the scoring chances. Third period, you know, they really pressed and put us under a lot of pressure, and guys competed and battled for each other. Jackson came through with some big saves and some big blocks. Ultimately, you know, we got out of there with 2 points, so we're certainly happy.
So let's move on to the game on Sunday against the Sheffield Steelers, still in the same place, and it was a 6-1 win for the Steelers. Campiani, Balmas, Dowd, Balmas again, Scott Allen, and Valorand on the power play of the six for the Sheffield Steelers, with our guest tonight, Matt McLeod, with the one. With regards to goalkeepers, Tyler Beskarwani and goals for Belfast Giants, 37 shots on, 6 against. Matt Greenfield, the other side, 25 shots on, 1 against. Tom Perrin, Chris Wells were your two referees. We do have George Iwata waiting in the wings. We're going to bring him in just a second. But Davey, 2 goals in the first 65 seconds, timeout called. What happened?
Yeah, not an ideal start, Paddy. And I think if we listen to Adam's interview from Saturday, maybe references the 2 previous games against Sheffield where we got ourselves too far behind too early, excuse me, and left ourselves too much to do. And I think in that first shift, we probably had one and a half chances to get the puck cleared out of the zone, and we didn't do it. And the dipsy doodled around, and unfortunately for us, just somebody's won a foot race down the left wing and has an empty net to slot into. Second one, we've got to defend better. It's a slot shot. Maybe the goalie needs to do better. Defense needs to do better. You're 2-0 down, and yes, we'll come up with that power play goal, but 3-1, 4-1 at the end of the first period, you ain't winning. It's 3 times it's happened against Sheffield. You've got a lead. Like Saturday night, you've got to take your opportunities when they come, to give yourself an opportunity to defend in a third period when you're going to expect that big pushback in front of what was 9,000 people, I think, all told in the arena. So it was always going to be a difficult night, but you get off to a bad start like that, which we've done over this season. You know, it'll be something that, and maybe ask George when he's on there, it'll be something they're putting their heart out as well. Besko will want that one back for sure. You know, he goes to put his glove down on it, just isn't there sharp enough. It's just there, just takes a wee ricochet off his pad and his stick at the same time, and dives Johnny on the spot, you know. And the first period came and went so quick for us, and we were out of the game, and just wasn't even so much damage limitation at that stage. Well, probably was. I don't know. That's another question for George. I'm scrambling a bit, Paddy, because I think that's a wee bit the way we played. We didn't play brilliantly on Saturday night, as I said earlier, but came away with a really strong result because we took our chances when we got down low. We worked so hard to keep those pucks in the zone on Saturday night. And unfortunately, on Sunday night, just it all happened too quickly, because you're 2-0 down in the first sort of whatever 120 seconds of the game, and you're playing your timeout at that stage. And Adam's having the G, you know, you've got to come out of the locker room in Sheffield, and you've got to be ready to go. And just on Saturday night, they just came at us too quick, and we just didn't seem ready. And unfortunately, that's what happened.
Marty, let me get your opinion before we bring George in. Like the contrast between Saturday and Sunday, and you know the speed. Obviously, the win on Saturday has hurt them. Has hurt the Sheffield Steelers. They know what direction they want to take. They've got a cup final tomorrow night. They're sitting high. A wee came in and we've given them a bloody nose. So they're obviously stinging. They want to come out. They've hit us hard. They've hit us quickly, and we've really struggled to get back from that.
We have, and we know that they had a team meeting. I think it was quite a lengthy team meeting before the game on Sunday. I know we had a couple of defensive errors in the first two goals especially, but what impressed me with the Sheffield Steelers was how aggressive their forecheck was. So they, from the word go, with the first two goals within the first minute and 5 seconds, it was just relentless. You know, Sheffield are so good on teams making a mistake, and when they make a mistake, they've got the quality and strength to put that puck into the back of the net. And I know Besko would want them back, but I feel, you know, any other goalkeeper in the league would have also struggled with at least one of them shots. You know, and
that's fair.
I thought they were very clinical in that way. And then they just kept on going. You know, when we see Sheffield Steelers play in this form, I certainly feel that it's hard to see a team that's actually going to stop them if they're playing this way. They have been very consistent this season, and it just showed in that game. I think the Giants, I thought maybe we started slightly slow. I thought we would have been a little bit, I thought we could have been a little more ready. But when you have a team coming out with 9,000 fans, well, I think it was 7,000, 8,000, 9,000 fans, whatever they had on Sunday, when they had all them fans kind of wanting them to respond, they responded so well. But also, I just wanted to touch on going into the second period. I thought Besko did redeem himself. I thought he had a good second. He also had a good third. Okay, let in another two goals in the third period. But, you know, I think Jeff Baum kind of put an arm around the shoulder at the end of the first, and obviously more or less told him that they still believe in him and he can still, you know, step up and play well. But, you know, Greenfield, he hasn't really had a couple of good games, obviously against Manchester and also against ourselves on Saturday night. And then also Greenfield then stepped up, which then any of our, you know, our chances, any of our grade A chances, he was there to stop us. So I just think it was a contrast of a much better game by the Sheffield Steelers compared to the Saturday night.
You something you want to say, Davey, before we bring George in?
Like, if you got to tip your cap also to the Sheffield Steelers. Like, we're a team that is notoriously good at recovering dump-ins. So teams try to put us under pressure, chip it around behind us. We're notoriously good at going back and getting those pucks and getting them out. But they came with a sort of relentless, and they came with speed. And we just weren't able to match them on that. Marty has said as well, yes, Besko with the two early goals, and that's going to rattle anybody. They also had a one-on-none away. Daniel Tedesco actually makes a really strong back check. Besko knocks a really good save down. Nazarian turns, fires, you know, 100 feet up the ice and sends Matt McLeod in for the one-on-one. Sheffield could have probably scored a lot more in that first period had it not been for Besko as well. So let's not throw him under the bus. Yes, seen criticism, and he will expect that as professional goalie. It's a very, very lonely position to be a goalkeeper in any sport but hockey, because goals can come in such rapid fire. It's a very, very lonely position. So let's not forget what Tyler Besko and he's done for this club over the last number of years as well. It all just, as I said in the earlier piece, it all happened so quick. They were just so relentless. They remind me a little bit of ourselves in the last couple of years, where we have that suffocating forecheck. We just don't let teams out. We've pinned teams this season two or three times. We've had a few games, I can think of three or four games off the top of my head, where we have had relentless, in second periods especially, relentless. That game against Coventry earlier in the season, where we should have scored four or five in that, and we have the ability to turn that on. So I still have hope that this season isn't lost. I know we're now out of the championship race. There's still trophies to be played for here. And I've seen enough from September to now to say that there's ability in this team to go and win a trophy. Just need to get everybody fit and everybody singing on the same hymn sheet and everybody going here and tuned in. There's a month left. and then we've got a big long summer. Some players will go off to the real world. Some players will go off the other players. Some players will come back. But this is the last month these guys are all going to play together, so they should enjoy it and then hope that there's going to be a little bit of something to play for at the end of it.
Let's get the post-game from Sunday and come straight back with George Iwata.
Yeah, absolutely. We talked about being ready from puck drop tonight and needing an answer from yesterday. And boys were ready to go from puck drop. First two shifts, two goals. That's the tempo there. Give up a little bit of an unlucky one on the PK there. And then we bounced right back and popped two more to finish the first period. And then thought we managed the game very, very well. I thought Belfast's best period was their second period, but we defended very hard. Kept them to one-and-done type situations, let Greener see the first one, and you know, we cleared the net front. Excellent 60-minute hockey game from us.
Certainly. I thought, obviously, Sheffield came out pretty angry about last night. We couldn't match their pace. They scored on their chances. The game was kind of over in the first period there. I thought they were just showed their class. You know, Sheffield showed why they're in first place, why they're in the position they're in, and overwhelmed us with their pace. And before anything come out of this weekend, we know what type of pace we need to get to compete with the likes of Sheffield. And you know, that's what we're going to have to take home here. We have a big weekend against Guildford, you know, for positioning for ourselves, a doubleheader at home. You know, we'll take the split weekend here, lick our wounds, and get back to work here this week.
The highlights of the weekend, normally I'd say, are on YouTube with the Steelers, Sheffield Steelers TV. They're not yet. It's Tuesday, boys. Can we get this sorted out? You know, can we get some highlights up? That'd be great. But yeah, I'm sure they'll be up on YouTube with Sheffield Steelers TV in the near future. Right.
Let's just work with Saturday. Just get Saturdays up.
Just put Saturdays up. Not bothered about Sundays, boys. Just put up Saturdays. Right, we're delighted to be joined by the assistant coach of the Belfast Giants, a former captain, a former championship winner, George Iwata. How are you doing, mate?
Good. How are you doing? How are you guys doing?
Yeah, doing dead well. Give us your reflection of the weekend, George, because obviously, you know, we go in, the Sheffield Steelers are where they are right now. They're tomorrow night, they're in the, you know, they're riding high in the league championship. They are a strong outfit. We went in and gave them a bloody nose on Saturday, and they kicked back on Sunday.
Yeah, no, it was a weird. I mean, we had a build up to that week, and we didn't know how to go about it because we had played a few games leading up to this week of preparation. But we jumped on the ice 4 days a week, and we had good, clean, crisp practices, and that was kind of our game plan. And I thought we showed up on Saturday, you know, ready to go. We were prepared for what they were going to do, and the guys executed. And you know, like Kiefer said, Jackson had a great game for us as well, but we were getting goals in all different kinds of situations, which was nice to see. And then obviously the next night was the next night. It was there. I've been paying attention to Sheffield as everyone else is this whole year. And, you know, their mantra is, you know, just only lose one. If you lose one at all, you know, pick up the next one. And they certainly did. And they were bitter probably about that, embarrassing them on Saturday night. And it was great. It was a good weekend, though. You know, we're on a different mission than they are. They out there, you know, these cups and everything like we were last year, they're chasing all these things. So they're on that part where we're looking to get a consistent pace and full 60 from everybody leading up into playoffs. And that's our goal. And I think we found a lot tonight or this weekend about how we can play, how we need to play. And, you know, we'll see Sheffield again a couple more times before playoffs. And hopefully by that time, our game's just getting better and better up until that point.
Is the key, as Davey said earlier on, is the key, you know, getting those early goals against Sheffield, getting ahead, because you know they're going to come back at you?
Yeah, I mean, it's like any home team. Like, teams come out hot, especially, I mean, they're notorious for that. I mean, Davey, I know you like the stats. If you go look at the stats and see how many games Sheffield have scored in the first minute, I'd probably blow your mind. And I'm well aware of it, and you know everyone else is too. But I always notice, like, man, they really get off hard, and it's a good thing when those happen for you, and when it works, it works, and you can shut down teams. And we were well aware of that going in. And I think on Saturday we did a good job of weathering the storm for the first 5-10 minutes, whatever it was, and we started getting our looks and getting shots, and It was just, we had a little more control of both zones, I think, on Saturday. But definitely, yeah, you get those goals early on. And it all depends on where the team is. There could be unlucky goals that you get scored on. And then you still have belief in the room and you got lots of time. You can work and build away. But again, like I said, with Sheffield and their pace, they really don't stop. So we spotted them a couple goals and it was tough. And we almost had it. But the one thing that did really bite us in the butt there was their penalties. You know, we had way too many penalties on Sunday. And whether they scored or not, it was just, you know, we're depleting a lot of our horses with energy and just giving them momentum in the puck and shots and everything. So that was a key to their extra goals on top of those early two. You know, we didn't do ourselves any favor by killing more than we should have.
How do you handle going in, George, 4-1 at the end of first? Like, what sort of message are you trying to get the boys? Is it to try and get the next one? Is it to try and shut things down? Is it just to try and play simple? What's the sort of message there?
Yeah, a little bit of everything. You know, obviously it happened pretty quick. We were, it was 2-0, and then we had the 1, and it was kind of like, all right. I mean, they still had a lot of the momentum and pace in the period. But it was just those last couple goals that we gave up, even the third or the fourth. I guess the fourth wouldn't happen, but the third one, I think, was kind of tricky. And that kind of gave them a little more momentum back after our goal. But it was just, it's lick your wounds. It's kind of pick your up. It's like, okay, here's the pace. We gotta chip away at this, you know, and there's always plenty of hockey to play as long as you take your chances. And I thought, you know, we did have a good response in the second, but you know, again, like Fox said there, it was kind of a one and done for a lot of the shots, a lot of our attempts. And our special teams weren't great, you know, both penalty and power play and penalty kill. So, you know, when things aren't clicking in all areas, it's to chip away at that lead. It goes away a lot quicker than you have, you know. So, but it was, you know, jump back on. I thought Besko responded really well, especially after that first period. I mean, he stopped a couple breakaways and, you know, he kept it at bay for us to score. We just weren't able to do that on the other end against Greenfield. Get our second, third looks at them.
And you talk now, we've got, I don't know if you heard the piece where before you came on, we were saying we've got sort of a month of the season or so left. Guys will go, guys will stay. But, you know, this is to try and instill in these guys that this is 1 month you have got left of this team, because this team will never be back together. It's never happened before. It'll never happen again. You know, try and instill some fun, and you talk about mission, and like the playoffs isn't, it's mission possible, it's not mission impossible. There's still work to be done here.
Yeah, no, and you know, Kiefer's really reined that in these last few weeks, and we've been playing pretty good hockey. We've been getting wins, and we've started this whatever 6 weeks of just momentum building towards that time when we really need to be at our best for the one-off game, you know. And that's our thing. And obviously the injuries, I mean, everyone's all well aware of them, but there's, you know, guys are slowly creeping back in, which is a good thing. And that we want everyone else playing good hockey. So when these guys can finally get into the lineup, they're just part of the flow with us and they can just jump on board and we'll just be a stronger, deeper group. And that's been our mantra, you know, for these last 6-7 weeks is just build on these games. Especially with these big double headers, we're playing teams above us, teams, you know, like we got Guilford this week, you know, so these are everything's relevant in the standings as well as just momentum for that finals weekend if we make it there.
George, you've touched on momentum. 11 games, we've won 8. I've also seen the lines being settled. It's probably been the first time we've had settled lines but from the start of the season, you know, at least the first line, it seems to be a regular second. And now it was nice to see the third line there with Matty McLeod, Kieran Long and Coops, because they did a really good job at the start of the season. It's maybe a silly question, but is it much easier to build and you can just see the progress of the momentum game on game? And if they, you know, we can see we're waiting on Greg Prince coming in, Mark Cooper. Are you gonna find that hard to slot them guys in, or have you just kind of got plans already in place where to slot them in?
Yeah, it's. It's hard to say, you know, like, yeah. You know, it's, we've been wanting to get the consistency. We haven't had that. And you've seen all the different makeshift lines that, you know, keepers had to throw together from period to period sometimes. But in this little stretch we've had, that's what's got us these games, these wins and stuff, is the consistency when, you know, next line up kind of thing. And so, you know, three guys are playing well together on the first, you know, and then with Spearsy coming in, he's, you know, he hasn't played hockey for a while and he's really starting to get his groove in. And so he's helping those two guys out. And like you said, with Macker and OC on that line, whoever's centering them, they've been pretty consistent, you know, but it's a great thing to have. But like I said, we know these, there are some key people that are still out of the lineup that need to get back in when they're healthy. So, we're going to see what happens this week, you know, where we're at and how lines work, but we don't want to, you know, mess with our mojo too much. But at the end of the day, we need to build our team back up to where it was before all these injuries, like Champions League style, I guess. So that seems like years ago, but yeah, it's momentum, but it's also just, you know, keeping afloat what we've been up to, attacking the net, attacking the pucks, killing penalties, you know, power play. These are things we're doing a lot better in these last couple months than we were in the previous. So it's only going to help us, like I said before, these guys coming in, but it will be some tough decisions to make for Kiefer and the rest of us.
Just one more thing, George. We'll be keeping an eye on tomorrow night's game with Guildford, obviously playing against the Sheffield Steelers. Obviously, we got the doubleheader coming up at the weekend, and you know, I think Guildford have been sandbagging a little bit. They've had a bit of mixed results, so we're kind of hoping they'll lay it all out in the ice tomorrow night. And how will that, you know, change things for us preparing into the Friday night's game?
Yeah, it was. I mean, whenever a few weeks ago, last month, when they announced that date, I went right to the fixtures and I saw that we were sandwiched between that against both of them. And we, you know, we've been talking about it for a while, and it could go either way, right? You know, and like Sheffield could have just laid an egg this weekend, just solely prepared on that, but they didn't, which is great. You know, we needed those games, we needed that pace. But for, you know, for Guildford, who knows how it's going to be, because this is a big moment for them. You know, they had a really good year last year. I think a breakout season, you know, and it's kind of, they got a core of those guys back there, so they can win. You know, but in the Sheffield has been up and down, but again, their depth and their quality is kind of hard to look over. But in a one-off game, you know, there is stress, there are pressures, there are things involved that, you know, we'll see, you know, it'll be interesting to see, you know, but again, we're not too worried about, you know, they could be happy, Guildford, whether they win or lose, not happy, but they could come out with a little more piss and vinegar, on back out of that, whether they win or lose, you know, could be on a high or whatever. So, we just got, like, you know, like everything else, we got to worry about ourselves and just make sure we have the break preparation these couple days before they come in and attack them right away and get out to those leads. So we set ourselves up for a good weekend for us and our fans and just for the standings, because we got to stay, you know, beat the teams below us. That's been what we've been trying to do for the most part these last few weeks. And there's no bigger team than Guildford right now, biting on our heels.
Well, that was going to be my next question, George. It is Guildford who are biting on our heels, and it is Guildford who come in for these two games. How is preparation going for this weekend?
Yeah, it's good. You know, like, you know, we just got back yesterday. Today, it was recovery day, because, you know, it was a pretty intense weekend. And we're just going to reset. We'll be at the SSC tomorrow and the next day, and just get back to what we've been doing. You know, like I said, we had a good week last week of training, just nice, crisp practices. This time of year, we just got to, you know, you go through the steps, the fundamental stuff. And, you know, I think there was, you know, we did find some belief this weekend, because we didn't know what was going to happen, because Sheffield has been steamrolling this year. So just like, you know, Kiefer said in the interview, you know, it's a good thing that we got to split. We just got to build on the positives, you know, fine tune some of the things that we're mixing or messing up a little bit, and that, you know, their penalties were the major thing. So that's just kind of a mentality thing, but we just got to stay focused on that and then just be prepared for whenever, you know, whatever Guildford team comes in. We just got to be our best and take care of business, and just worry about Saturday and or Friday, and then hopefully Saturday take care of itself.
George, listen, we really appreciate your time. I know you came on a bit of short notice, so we really appreciate you taking the time to come and join us. Good luck this weekend, and we'll chat to you as the season goes on.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks, boys. Good chatting.
Thanks, George. Thank you, George. Thank you.
Big thanks to George Iwata for taking the time. He was at that event tonight at Five Guys, and a big shout to Sazy. He had a word with him, and he was kind enough to come on and join us. And we move on, and we've got another guy. I did him a disservice earlier on. I said he only scored two goals this weekend. He actually scored three. He's also this year's favourite player of our good friend Karen Lynch. So big shout out to Karen. Here he is. It's Matt McLeod. How are you, mate?
What's up, boys? How are we doing?
Yeah, good, buddy. Good. Give us your, just as we always do at this point, give us your reflection on the weekend. Three goals for yourself, a good result on Saturday, and just a tough one on Sunday.
Yeah, I think you said it best. Definitely a good result on Saturday. I think, obviously, Wiss had a pretty outstanding game. He stood on his head for us. We knew that Sheffield was obviously they're obviously a really good team with a lot of depth, and they kind of play a different brand of hockey than a lot of the teams in this league. You know, they got a lot of pace. They blow the zone, they get pucks in deep, and they're really heavy on the forecheck. So it makes things hard to get out of your end, a lot harder than some other teams, and harder to sustain ozone as well, because their D are always quick to get the puck out, rimming the puck out, and their forwards are blowing the zone. So it's a little different. But on Saturday, I think we weathered the storm really well. We capitalized on our chances. You know, we had a couple power play goals, I think, and definitely capitalized on our chances. And Wiss held, stopped the puck when he needed to, so that helped us. And we got the job done, so we couldn't be happier with that result. It's a huge win for us. And then, obviously, going into Sunday, tough start to the game. Couple goals going in the first minute. That's not fun. They got 8,000 fans screaming in your face, dancing behind your bench. So that's never a fun way to start the game. So I think we kind of shot ourselves in the foot there at the start of that one. And obviously we tried to make a push back, but it's tough to do that against a team like that. So definitely a good benchmark weekend for us to kind of understand what we need to do to win this playoff trophy. And I think it was good to kind of see that the pace that they play with, so that we know where we need to be headed in these next 6 weeks here.
You brought up something that I want to ask about, which is those two goals in 65 seconds. When it happens, like when it happens for you, it's brilliant. Like, you know what I mean? You're two goals up, and the game's barely begun. But when it goes against you, and obviously that timeout was called instantly, you know, you got time to, you had to come back and regroup. What's said on the bench? Because obviously there's still 59 minutes left of this game. But yeah. What's said? What is that? Is that basically it? Boys, calm down. We've still got plenty of time.
Boys, look at the clock. There's 59 minutes left. I know they just scored two on us, but we got basically the whole game still here to get them back. So I think that was a really good point to call the timeout. Obviously, you can't start the game like that. And so what else are you going to do, right? We got to rein it in a bit there. So, calm it down, boys. Let's stick to our game, think about what we can do here for the next 59 minutes and try to regroup here. So, yeah, obviously not a good start, but got to rein it back in.
Matt, I guess the where there's life, there's hope, and we still, you know, until the weekend had a mathematical chance of being in the championship, although it's been probably gone for a number of weeks. How easy is it now going to be to focus in for... I know they're all crucial games. Every game we ever play as a Belfast Giants is about winning, but sort of 6 weeks of almost dead rubbers in the case of you're just jockeying for a little bit of position now with that two weekends that you need to be hot.
Yeah, I mean, it's always fun putting on the Belfast Giants jersey and winning the games, right? So it's not hard to get up for games. It's always fun to get up for these games and get wins, but especially right now, you know, we want to secure third place and keep going after Cardiff as well, because I don't think we're still in contention to pass them. So every game matters, especially this weekend against Guildford. You know, they're 6 points back of us. We want to make sure we secure third place and put some distance between us and them. So we've all got our eyes on the playoff trophies. I think we're all going to be hungry come the playoffs. whereas some of these teams like Sheffield and Cardiff, are their eyes are set on the regular season trophy right now. So the fact that we get the opportunity to kind of just focus on the playoff trophy maybe almost gives us an advantage that that's our focus, and that's what we're going to be building towards for the next 6 weeks. So if you look at it that way, I like our chances.
And I know it's probably the third time I've said this to different people on the show already tonight, but like, you guys get to play the greatest, you have the greatest job in the world. Let's be honest, you know, we all want to have that job where we don't have the ability, but it's also the last 6 weeks where you guys
Marty
are going
does.
To get, oh, well, Marty back in the black and white days. I've seen black and white pictures of you, Marty. Oh, sorry. You know, use of 6 weeks as a team left together, you know, and when as a team walk together forever, as Murph would say, you know, so there's still lots to be played for and lots of fun and lots of smiles to be had.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you kind of think back to last year and coming in and all the memories of, you know, winning the playoff trophy last year and how good that one felt. I mean, it's the last trophy that you can win as a group. So you want to finish on a high note. I mean, it's been a crazy year, obviously a lot of turbulence kind of through the year, but thinking back to, like, you know, what we've all accomplished as a group, you know, Champions League, like, that seems like a lifetime ago, but it's a great group. It's a great group of guys, and I'm going to remember these guys forever, and winning the playoffs together, I mean, would just be a huge accomplishment for us. And I know it's something that would unite us forever. So as you said, you know, you win together, you walk together forever. So it's something I would love nothing more to do with this group, because I love who we have in that change room. So yeah, our eyes are on the prize for sure.
Let's go.
Matty, back when I played, there wasn't too many doubleheader weekends, and
or graphite sticks, indeed. Or,
yeah, it was all wooden sticks and wooden blades for the but it seems to be, you know, Giants now have a lot of doubleheader weekends, especially at home. How do you find them? Do you enjoy them? Do you think it's a bit of a disadvantage with obviously teams then essentially on the second day? It's a bit of a, well, okay, they haven't had the travel, so they can maybe treat it slightly like a home game.
Yeah. I mean, I'm coming from the East Coast League where we were playing three games in three nights. So anything other than that is a treat to me, honestly. So, but I mean, obviously sometimes coming back, I mean, I feel like most of the times this year we've been played either like a Friday or Saturday at home and then been on the road a lot for the second game of the weekend. So obviously that's a bit of a challenge trying to, you know, get a good sleep in and do the travel the day of the game and then getting there and getting up for the game. But I mean, having a doubleheader at home, there's nothing better. You get to sleep in your own bed. You know, you get our fans for both nights. And, you know, you get to be in the SSE, which is nothing better. So I think, I mean, every team's got to deal with it. I think every team's got their travel challenges too, different challenges. I mean, we got the ferry sometimes, but I know some of the teams over in England have 10-hour bus rides back home after some of their Scottish trips. So you can't, everyone's kind of got something, so you can't blame it on that ever. You got to be up for every game. And it's just kind of part of the job.
One other question from me. I kind of said to George about, you know, the line seemed to be settled, and it was, you know, over the last, say, 10 games. I thought it was good to see yourself, OC, and Longer back playing together. And I know you were doing very well at the start of the season until OC got injured. You know, how did it feel playing along with them guys again, especially against the Sheffield Steelers?
I mean, I think we've kind of had a little bit of a bond. I know Longer's always kind of making subtle jokes when he's not with us and he misses us a little bit. So shout out to Longer. love you, man. Yeah, I mean, we definitely had some good chem going back during Champions League. And so we've kind of just been trying to build on it. I know the lines have been shuffled around a bunch this year because of injuries and stuff and whatnot. I think when we get to play together, we know what we're expected to do. We're expected to, you know, play hard, play simple, and you know, have ozone shifts and get to the net. So It's nice playing with them because we know what's expected of us. I know how they're going to play. I know where they're going to be now playing this many games with them. So when we get in our groove, I think we're a really tough line to play against.
Yeah, especially Saturday. You got three, didn't you? You got the two, and Kieran Long got the one. So yeah, you were certainly that line to do the business on Saturday night.
Yeah, it worked out well. Worked out well for sure. So happy to contribute for sure. And I know Longer squeaked one in there too off that shot, howitzer. So happy for him, and yeah, happy we could definitely contribute for that big win on Saturday.
Couple of questions coming in from people who are watching live. One from Neve here said, Manny, my hockey team are doing a mini NHL All-Stars weekend to celebrate 1 year of our Learn to Play program. Any advice for the fast skater competition? Those crossovers? Is that what it is?
Yeah. Them going? I feel like you got to figure out which way you're going to go first. Which way can you cross over faster? usually I think it's to your, I would go to my forehand, I think. So I would figure that out. Go to your forehand. And then, yeah, I've actually never done like a fastest skater competition, like the one lap. So I don't have that many tips, but I know it's a lot of geometry too. Like the angle you take into the net, going around the net plays a big part in it. Like you think you want to go a little bit wider so you get more of a slingshot, around the other side. So,
you've not done the fastest skater, because like one other question comes in here is one you get all the time on this show, which is we're going to see you have a race against Kohei Sato and DJ.
I've heard people there's been a lot of sides being picked, and I've heard people going one side or the other. I don't know if there's a race going down or not yet, but it sounds like,
given the way injuries are going, mate, I'd sort of hold off just for now. We'll don't want to push it too much at the minute.
yeah, people have no problem picking a side and let me know, but I just try to be as fast as I can. So
when our season is truly done, then we can I'm sure that the guys at Chance TV will video you and Kohei having a race on the ice. How is prep going for this weekend against the Guildford Flames?
It's good. I mean, we're going to start. We had a recovery day today, so just getting the body right, getting the sauna, getting the ice bath and stuff, just getting the legs going. And then tomorrow we'll get back on the ice for some good practices. I know tomorrow we'll probably have some pace, get up and down the ice, feel the puck, and then Thursday's practice will probably be a bit more, crisp and feel the puck and make sure we're on the ball for a big start on Friday.
And Matt, I don't want the standard ECHL or whatever answer, prep from sort of media school. 14,000 people are going to be in the arena over the two nights this weekend. And we've had lots of big crowds in since you became a Belfast Giant. What is it like playing in front of that Odyssey crowd?
it's really special. I think back to my first game here last year. It was 8-0 win against Glasgow at home. And the crowd was doing the wave, and we were doing the wave on the bench too. I don't know if you guys remember that. We were getting up
on the
bench. And I was like, is this like going to be every game? Is this even allowed? Like, this is pretty ballsy right now. it's when the crowd's rocking, there's no place like it. And the fans are crazy here. I love how nuts they are for the game. They cheer loud. They love when we score. So hopefully we can have a start like Sheffield had on us on Friday night and get the crowd into it and scare off Guildford pretty early into the game.
Let's hope so, mate. Let's hope so. Listen, we really appreciate you taking the time to come and join us. Really enjoy having you on the show. Good luck this weekend, and we'll chat to you later.
Absolutely. Thanks, boys. See you later.
Let's go.
Big thanks to Matt McLeod. Always great fun having him on. Really good, really, really good lad. One thing I want to mention, boys, before we move on, is that with the game against the Sheffield Steelers on Sunday, Mark did the Belfast Giants, where he just moved me around on the screen. David, you just do that for a laugh. It's good to make everybody dizzy. It marked the fact that the Belfast Giants were mathematically eliminated from the title race. 1,806 days, David, is that correct?
That's correct. That wasn't a statistic brought up by me. That was a statistic researched and brought up by John Smith, our good friend Smitty. So I'm just trying to think. 1806 times 24 times 5. 16 times. Just talk amongst yourselves while it works.
Fast maths. But obviously, the mitigating circumstances in that. Three league titles spread over the space of 5 years. 5 years since we won the one in 2018-2019. The 2019-2020 season and the following season, obviously, where one was cancelled and one was not battled for. But This is a stretch that Marty you'll never see again for one club to have 5 years covering one championship or three championships. If you know what I mean.
Well, no, I don't think so.
Unless the way that this league is, it's quite cyclical, isn't it? So you know, we won three league titles on the trot, right? Could have easily have lost one in the middle there. Unfortunately for Cardiff, it wasn't actually, you know, a league title that was awarded. So we won three league titles on the trot. The likelihood of that has been very, very minimal for any team over the last 20-odd years. But for a team to basically try and do it over five is nigh impossible, the way that this league's structured.
Yeah, well, you know, each year, look at Sheffield, you know, we all thought maybe, you know, Aaron Fox's maybe days were numbered at the end of last year. They stuck with him, and I definitely did. Yeah, and look what he's done this season. And so you know, it was nice to see that the Sheffield had a bit of belief and didn't just chop and change, you know, willy nilly with their coach. But it just shows what the Giants organization have done with. Obviously, Steve Thornton and Adam Keith. You know, Adam Keith kind of going into being a coach, the unknown, and look at the gem that he's turned out to be. 100%. This season as well started off very well. Just a bit of controversy. You know, if things hadn't happened the way they did, who knows what this could have been? Another epic two-horse race of a season with the Steelers.
Davey, you've got stats.
Oh, I've surpassed myself here, Paddy. I'm
maths,
actually giggling.
Maths. Is it
giggling
stats
to myself? There's stat. Yeah. As George Wattis says, I do love a stat. 1,806 days. If you multiply it by 24 hours, you get 43,344 hours. Person can walk 5 kilometers an hour, but that works out at 216,720 miles, 40,000 miles around the earth. You could have walked 5.4 times around the world since the last time another EIHL team held that trophy. So congratulations to Belfast Giants on quite a run.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a statistic and a half, mate. Well done, dude. But yep, that's it. We're mathematically out of the title race, unfortunately. But make no mistake, boys. Make no mistake. This organization doesn't take that lightly. And the Belfast Giants will be back again, the battle for the Elite League title. Player of the month. Well, you guys throughout the contenders for the player of the month, and it went to a vote. David Goodwin, Daniel Tedesco, Kohei Sato, and Travis Brown were your contenders, and with 39.2% of the vote, Daniel Tedesco was voted the View from the Bridge Player of the Month for February, sponsored by Funacab. Marty, you mentioned him earlier on about how much he's changed as a player in the last couple of months, and personally, I think this is very well deserved.
Yeah, last week when we spoke about all the nominees, I think says Davey and myself all said Tedesco. You know, I even remember the chat I had with you watching the Coventry game, Paddy. We were kind of texting back and forth, and I was just saying I just want him to stop overcooking the puck, and I just felt it very frustrating. And all of a sudden, he got I think he got 3 points in he got an assist and 2 goals in that game. After we were exchanging them text messages. So ever since then, he's just kind of went on.
I sent them on to him, mate.
I just think he went on strength.
Like, thanks, boys. Thanks.
But also, the boys had said last week about how we, you know, David Goodwin has also brought the magic out in Daniel Tedesco, and what we had seen in him last year with what he was doing with Guildford. So it's good to see that he's got that confidence back and that spark. And certainly when he's on his game, there's no better player to watch than him.
Davey, your thoughts on Daniel Tedesco as the View from the Bridge in February? Are you coming up with stats?
Last week, I don't know how much you watched of the show actually last week, Paddy.
I watched a little bit, as you know, but I was a little bit worse for wear.
You are inebriated. I was going to bring you in. I seen you in the green room, and then I thought better of it
because
you
were best weren't even sitting still.
I said I'm a bit of a Teddy fanboy. You know, good things have happened to Daniel over the course of the season. The CHL, you know, coming up with the goal of the tournament. He's had opportunities. Hasn't had that settled line of someone, you know, like you hark back over previous years. So last year, Steve Aure, David Goodwin, Scott Conway, and Cons for all the goals he scored, and Steve Aure for all the goals he scored, needed somebody to put it on their stick, and that was invariably David Goodwin. And there's no doubt that he has fired Daniel Tedesco up, and a little bit of confidence certainly tilts the ice for a player. And you know what was I? Didn't have these, put these on Twitter. Played 11 games, 8 goals, 6 assists, 78 shots was the one for me, was the big stat. In the course of a month, you know, he's consistently leading the team in shots. He's now being brave. And I'm not saying that he wasn't being brave, but in maybe November, December, when things weren't going his way, and Marty talked about it on webcast and stuff a lot, we maybe looked for a pass rather than looking for a shot. And through that run in February, I think Marty said again, there are 8 wins in 11 games. He's a shooter. He takes his opportunity, especially with the extra man now on the power play. He's being relied on, playing a lot of minutes. That puck goes on Daniel Tedesco's stick. Anywhere around that right circle, he's trying to get shots on net. We've got guys coming in, crashing left. David Goodwin, wherever he is on the ice, is looking for Tedesco's stick. And Tedesco, right at the very start of the season, Paddy, was skating everywhere, head up, stick down, waiting for passes and just releasing, quick release. He's a great shot. He's highly skilled, highly liked by all the players. You listen to Sisnall talking about him, watches him at training, and the skill level that the guy has. I just really hope that he can turn it on for the next 6 weeks in the Belfast jersey.
Congratulations to Daniel Tedesco as becomes the February player of the month for February. Well done, Patrick. The View from the Bridge player of the month for February. And big thanks to Funocal for sponsoring the award. And hopefully we get to present them with that on Friday night after the game against the Flames. Right, bit of crayon, a little bit of news. The final scoring tonight, if you're watching live on Tuesday night, the final score in tonight's bottom of the table clash between Nottingham and Fife was 3-1 to the Flyers in Nottingham. We'll come to the standings shortly. Nottingham are fast running out of games to try to get themselves up into that 8th place. There were 2 midweek games last Wednesday, with Nottingham thumping Guildford 6-1 and Blaze taking a 1-0 win over Cardiff on an emotional night in the Sky Dome. It was the first since the death of Keno, a win truly dedicated to his memory. Saturday saw Glasgow travel to Altrincham and take an overtime win in a real cat and mouse battle. Cardiff bounced back from the defeat in Coventry to win over the Panthers in what was a real ill-tempered affair at the Kyle Bond Arena. Retro hockey on retro night, they're both getting stuck into each other. By the way, lads, do you see some of the retro night shirts? Do you see the referees' ones?
Mm-hmm.
This was in the old red and white striped shirts for retro. It was
like them.
Yeah, that was quite a nice touch. Fife continued their own hunt for 8th place. Having won also tonight, they did win on Saturday 5-2 over the Blaze. On Sunday, another overtime game for the Clan, but it was their estranged sister team, Nottingham, who took the extra point in an 11-goal thriller. Blaze hit back in Scotland with a 4-1 win over the Stars on Tayside. And like the Clan, the Storm hosted another additional time affair with a 2-1 shootout win over the Flames. As we mentioned earlier, Sheffield and Guildford will meet on Wednesday night in the Challenge Cup final in Sheffield Arena. That will be live on Viaplay with Viaplay. Did we ever get to the bottom of that? With Murph and Paul Eady back behind the mic, 7 p.m. with a face-off at 7:30 p.m. Let's have a quick chat about that, Marty. Obviously, two teams, one going in with a lot better form than the other.
Yeah, but looking back, Guildford, I feel Guildford have played quite well in Sheffield's Arena. I think they won early on in the season. Most recently, they have lost to Sheffield. But as I said earlier on, I think they might be just sandbagging a little bit. I think, obviously, they know they're out of contention. Well, they were out of contention of the league early on. They know that this is probably their only hope of getting a trophy this season. Obviously, they have a chance in the playoffs, but they perform well in Sheffield. I think they'll throw everything at Sheffield tomorrow night. I know Sheffield are a firm favourite. They're the firm favourites to win, but anything can happen in a cup final. And, Paul Dixon's crafty enough coach. He's good counter-attack playing, so I'm intrigued to see what happens tomorrow night. I'm feeling, a lot of people are saying, oh, they're going to blow Sheffield are going to blow Guildford out of the water, but I have a sneaky feeling Guildford could do it.
See, that's the thing, isn't it? It's a one-off game, Davey. It's a one-off game in one night, and if you come out, as we said earlier, if you can come out quick and hit Sheffield hard and get ahead, anything can happen. But from the look on your face, you don't think that's what's going to happen.
No, mate, this the old one, like if they were playing in my garden with pool curtains, no interest whatsoever. I just hope that I obviously it's not going to be a secret who I would like to win, but two teams that I don't care for playing in a game I don't care about, so good for them.
The thing with Sheffield last year, playing in the big crowd, in the big arena in front of their home crowd, I felt they got nervous quite a lot, and it did creep in a little bit against Manchester. It certainly creeped in Saturday night against us. Obviously, they rectified that on the Sunday, but I think I was listening to the 303 podcast earlier today, and I think the guys were saying that it's sold out and it's 9,000. I think it's going to be the biggest crowd in some time. And you just know that the nerves are going to creep in. So that's why I have a sneaky feeling that Guildford could go in here and say, nothing to lose, boys. Let's go feed off the adrenaline from the away support.
It's going to be an interesting one. I'd like to see early goal for Guildford, or maybe early two goals for Guildford, and see what comes of it. Obviously, Sheffield being as strong as they are, you know, they're going to, and being at home, as we've, you know, look at last year's Challenge Cup final in Belfast. You know, if a team are on form, they have a means to just mow down a lesser opposition in a big game like that. And, you know, Belfast got a lot of grief, or the league got a lot of grief. So nobody wants to see this, but, you know, the team that wins definitely want to see it. But yeah, best wishes to Guildford. That's all I'm saying. Best wishes to Guildford. I'd like to see them take it. Let's have a look briefly at the standings before we talk about the games and what's to come. Sheffield obviously leading the way, 75 points from 44 games. They've qualified for the playoffs, which I'm sure everybody was shocked at. 64 points from 44 games for Cardiff, who are still in the hunt. Belfast, we've been eliminated from the title race, 56 points from 45. As we said earlier, Guildford are hot on our heels. They've played the same amount of games. They're 6 points back, 50 from 45. Storm in fifth with 49 points. Blaze in sixth with 46. And then you've got you could throw a blanket really over the last 46, 45, 43, 42, Blaze, Clan, Flyers, Dundee, and then 39 for the Nottingham Panthers. Davey, this sort of race here at the bottom end, say from, say, sixth down to 10th potentially, there's still a lot of movement can happen here.
Is that including tonight's result, by the way?
That's including tonight's result. Tonight's result have lifted the Flyers out from ninth into eighth and put Dundee down in the ninth.
So I assume they've all to play each other, and there's an awful lot of hockey still to be played here. There's, what, 10 games, 9 games?
Yep.
Oh, Flyers have only 7 games left, you know.
Yep.
Tom Coughlin will be delighted. That's a big, big win for them tonight. You know, takes them out of the bottom two, obviously, tonight. And Stars, you know, good friend of the show, Mark Lefebvre, don't know if you're watching, hi coach, you know, didn't miss and hit the wall when talking about his players the other night, and that lacking the balls was the terminology used. You got to have balls at this stage of the season to go to nets. 4 goals in 5 games isn't enough at this stage of the season. You need to be scoring goals, especially when things tighten up. Players, teams will be playing tight here towards the end of the season. It's not running gun hockey now, but You know, that team needs to come out. And that's a talented roster, you know. Dundee, yeah. You think a couple of times, they always get one on you, don't they? You used to say that about an Omar and Pasha team, always got one. Always, a Mark Lefebvre team one. Always gets one on you. And, you know, Blaise, right? Our Manchester.
You throw blanks over the lot of them,
you know. And, well, you're probably going to say fifth and up are probably...
Yeah,
probably okay at this stage.
Which is another great result. Which is probably it's another great result for Matt Ginn. In that case, you know, Storm has struggled to reach the playoffs. Like, let's say, nothing's done until it's done. But Storm for years struggled to make the playoffs, and Matt Ginn's got them in there twice.
Storm are a point away from fourth in the league. You know, we're talking up only 7 points behind Belfast. They all conquering Belfast Giants from last year. So, you know, in progress, and that's what Matt Ginn will want to be doing as a coach, is progress every season, setting new targets, step towards them. And you can't argue that they haven't taken steps this year towards being a more consistent hockey team, which is absolutely what they want. They're winning on the road as well as making it difficult in Manchester. So, yeah, a lot of games still to be played there.
Marty, you know, your thoughts on that battle at the bottom?
I think it's between three teams. I think Nottingham, Dundee and the Fife Flyers. I think Glasgow, Coventry, Manchester, I think they'll be okay. I just think they're grinding out results. Their form's been decent enough. You know, you touched on Manchester Storm. They've really stepped up since their GM kind of came out and spoke about the team, about underperforming. I think it was after that Cardiff game. You know, I think they've certainly... Their game is risen quite highly since that. But, you know, Dundee were rolling quite high there middle of the season, and I just think they've been very reliant on their first line, and then a couple of their players are just running around being a little bit silly, looking to have a little bit of hack and a whack and looking for a bit of a fight when they should really be concentrating on, you know, trying to, as their quick market face say, you know, drive the net, get the dirty goals, you know, concentrate on that rather than doing silly things off the play. So for me, yeah, I think them three, it's going to be between them. I think Glasgow will just be okay. I think they'll be safe enough. That's my view.
It's going to be an interesting running, as you say. There's 10 odd games, just under 10 games to the end of the season, number of weeks. It's going to be an interesting run at the bottom, and we'll see how that turns out. The Belfast Giants have two games this weekend, as we've mentioned, Friday at 7 p.m. and Saturday at 7 p.m., both against the Guildford Flames, both at the SSE Arena. Both will have massive crowds, and if you can't make it down there, you can watch both on Giants TV. Any other business, boys?
Marty, anything?
No, I have nothing.
Paddy, have you those pictures queued?
I do.
I know. I have banged this for a number of weeks. I'm just scrolling back through my messages here. Jamie Clark's wee girl, born 1 pound weight. 24 weeks. Can you go look at this child and tell me you can't fall in love? Can you? That's her first day back in the house, Paddy. After getting out of the hospital after five, go back at Santa. One more.
By the other one. Well, this one.
Microphone. That's little Felicity, born 1 pound weight. That's half a bag of sugar, guys. 24 weeks. Look at her wee face peeking out there. Fought the hard yards, got home from hospital, had Santa in hospital, and got home and is doing really well, and took in her first game as a Belfast Giants fan. Well, she was a Belfast, it's a birthright, aren't you? You're born a Belfast Giants fan. So if you go on the next picture there, Paddy, you'll see her taking her first webcast. I think Marty was on comms. So,
the first voices of the Belfast Giants you heard were Simon Kitchen and Gareth Martin.
So it's great to have her home, but I've had those pictures on my phone, so I had to use them. I would like to say, oh, I've got Face ID and all, see, modern technology. Hang on, here we go.
Magic.
Like to thank Johnny Harvey, Stephen Mills, Johnny Harvey again, Alan Brett, James Lynch, Nicola Shields, Gina Dockerley, Darren Skelton, Ian Hawthorne, Robert Austin, Nicola Axu, Simon Kitchen. There was somebody else
Sammy Kitchen.
The Austin family. And I wrote that down somewhere. Almost £100 in donations for the Easter eggs. So you, me, Simon and Marty, by 25 quid ahead, we'll make it up to £200. And unbelievably, Jeff Baum Sr. said he'll match it. So,
what a man.
Around £400 in Easter eggs. We're going to make sure somebody goes to shops before the weekend and we'll convert that money into Easter eggs. But it's your money, guys. Thank you very much for donating. Thanks to Jeff Baum Sr., Jeff Baum Jr.'s dad, Jeff Baum Sr., all the way in Texas, never misses a show, and we appreciate you a lot. So thank you, and
says he's coming skiing with me next year.
Oh, there you go, Ness.
He says he's going to get involved.
Oh, Ness.
More than welcome. More than welcome. But yeah, that's fantastic. Thank you to everybody who's who sent money in through the show. And yeah, there's all those Easter eggs. And what a shout from Jim Lynch saying, folks, get some dairy-free eggs. For those dairy allergy people out there, I know we had a friend of ours here in that case as well. Dairy free eggs, or at least not everybody's able to have it.
London dairy.
Yep, absolutely. Ah, dear. big thanks to George Iwata and the Matt McLeod for coming and joining us on the show tonight. Those games, Giants against Flames on Friday at 7 p.m. and Saturday at 7 p.m. And I nearly forgot, Davey. And you nearly forgot, Davey. There's just one more thing to talk about and one more person to give a shout to. Who is it? I'll let you do it.
What's this going to be? Oh, big shout out to Mark and Kelly. Mark has been man the fort. Kelly has been in Thailand, sunning himself, sending pictures of himself drinking every day for about 3 weeks. So he was back to the arena at the weekend, hanging the shirts out, drying the gloves, doing whatever he has to do to help our good friend Jason Taffelry out there. So Kelly and Mark, they absolutely love it. Two absolute beauties. They get in everywhere. They're like a water leak. You can't keep them out. They're amazing guys. love them to pieces.
Really great guys. How's Taff doing, mate? Have you chatted him?
He's doing all right.
He'll get back to it.
He's got two trips to Wales before the end of the season, so he's doing okay.
He'd be all right. Games against the Flames, Friday at 7, Saturday at 7. Get yourself down to the SSE or join. Are you on this weekend with Sis, Marty?
Yeah, I told him I was available on Friday night, so no one says he'll probably contact me about 3 o'clock Friday afternoon when I'm leaving work and say he's still coming.
He's still coming. I have not. Yeah, just give you that much time to prepare. You'll be prepared by then, mate. You'll be fine.
Yeah, all good.
Listen, gents, really appreciate you joining us this week. Good to see us. Thanks for holding down the fort last weekend as well. Contact us at podcast at kingdomofthegiants.com. At AVFTB on Twitter, you can get us Facebook. You can get us on YouTube. You can get us on all sorts of stuff. And wherever you are this weekend, we hope you enjoy your hockey. And we'll catch you next time here on A View from the Bridge.
Sports Social Podcast Network.